But I direct your attention on this Father's Day to 1 Kings, the second chapter. 1 Kings, the second chapter, one of my favorite characters in the Word of God. And I will speak from verses 1 through 4 for your hearing. I will read verses 1 through 4 as well. And if you stand, that's all right by me. 1 Kings, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of God's holy word, where it's recorded starting at the first verse. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the application of his holy word. I'd like for you to meditate with me from this particular title, Faithful, Fearless, and Filled with Joy. Faithful, fearless, and filled with joy. If you were to ask some people, what does it mean to be a good man? I am certain that answers would be all over the spectrum, because good can be a relative term for many people. What may be good for some may not be good for others. But I submit to you this morning that when you talk about a good man or even a good person, God should be somewhere in the conversation, because in fact, God is good. It's written in scriptures that God and good go together. In that 107 Psalm, the first verse, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is, yeah, his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. James, that first chapter in the 17th verse, says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And then Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. When you talk about goodness, somebody needs to glorify God, because God is good. I would like to tell you that I do good all the time. That's not going to happen. But brothers in Christ, we have our moments sometimes. Yeah, moments when we struggle. Moments when we go left when we should have stayed straight. Moments when we stop when we should have kept going. Moments when we stumble when we should have just went over it. But we need to know this morning that God is good all the time. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that the goodness of the Lord is on the inside, and we have a reason to say thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God is good. In our text, we see King David this morning. The Bible records that God loved David. And matter of fact, he said in the 13th chapter of Acts, in that 22nd verse, this was God's words. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. David was a great man, a man after God's own heart. And good men get busy for the Lord. I said good men get busy for the Lord. David was busy being the most powerful king that ever lived. David was busy defeating giants. David was busy establishing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. David was busy taking care of the Ark of the Covenant. David wrote 75 of the 150 Psalms that are recorded in the Bible. David was a musician and a poet. Young folks, long before spoken word, poetry slam, rap, or hip-hop, you had King David. The Bible says that David was a good man after God's own heart. But sometimes even good men struggle. Brothers, have you ever done some things and then afterwards you realize that that was not cool? The Bible said King David did some things that were just not cool by God's standards. Yeah, it records that David lusted after a married woman to be with her. Not cool. That he plotted against the woman's husband to have him killed and fostered a baby from an adulterous relationship. Not cool. The Bible records that he counted the troops in the army instead of relying on the provisions of God. Not cool. The scriptures record that this man had all kinds of baby mama drama. David did some things that were not cool. In fact, it says when he should have stepped up and been a father to some of his children, that he didn't do what he should have done. He had some not cool moments in his life. So then how then do we reconcile the complexities of David as a good man with the struggles that David went through? How do we reconcile a man after God's own heart with a man who struggled sometimes? How can men this morning go through some not cool moments and still be a man after God's own heart? Well, this morning, you have to keep it real with God. I'm going to talk to the brothers for just a few moments. You must be faithful, fearless, and know that you are filled with joy. Let's walk through this real quick. It says, be faithful. In that first and second verse of 1 Kings, the second chapter says that the days of David drew near when he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. The Bible records that King David was a father. Yeah. That he had many children. In 1 Chronicles, the third chapter, it records 20 of them by name. But it don't say how many kids he actually had. It just records these 20. 19 of them were boys, and one of them were girls. He knew what it meant to father some children. In our text, we see the words of advice coming from an outgoing King David to his son, King Solomon. For certain, David understood completely that he had done some things that were not cool. But a faithful man realizes the error of his ways. I said a faithful man of God realizes when he's messed up. A faithful man realizes when he's fallen down. A faithful man realizes when he's hanging out with people. Y'all don't hear me. That he should not hang out with. A faithful man wants a real relationship with a holy God. A faithful man repents, as forgiveness, turns away and stops practicing sin. In that 51st Psalm, you ought to read the whole thing for yourself. But in the first verse, David realized that he has some not cool moments. So he opens up in that first verse and says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, and blot out my transgressions. Have you ever cried out, have mercy unto me, O God? Has somebody ever said, help me, O Lord? Yeah, I made a mistake and I did some not cool things, but walk with me right now, God. Be faithful and keep me from stumbling again. Don't let me go back to doing what I used to do. David realized that he didn't do good all the time. That's what the story tells us. He realized that life can get you caught up. Somebody say, caught up. But he knew that God provides a way out. The difference between King David and many of us right now, brothers, is that we get caught up in not cool moments. What am I saying? We get stuck in the same thing that's not cool. And then we do it over and over again. We cannot tell right from wrong. We get caught up hanging out with sinful people on sinful websites, young folks. Yeah, we get caught up standing in the lottery line. Was that you I saw that? No, that wasn't me. We get caught up gossiping, talking about somebody else when you need to get your own business straight. We get caught up being lazy when we know we ought to do more for God because he's done more for us than we could ever do for ourselves. We get caught up hanging out with somebody that don't belong to us. We get caught up. If we're not careful, we can spend so much time caught up in sin that we become weak to it. David knew this all too well, so he told his child Solomon in this text. He says, be strong, therefore, and prove yourself. He told his son to prove himself a man. But men, I'm telling you this morning that God is calling us to tell our children to prove yourself in the Lord, to prove who you are by the way you walk with the holy God. We ought to say, prove yourself, young man. Prove yourself, young woman, by the relationship that you have with a holy God. We want the next generation of people to be faithful unto God, to be strong in the Lord, and to prove who they are before a holy God. We need to be faithful, and then we need to be fearless. 1 Kings, that second chapter, the third and the fourth verses say, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that's the word of God, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Fearless is another one of those relative words, because some believe you are fearless because you can talk to anybody any way at any time. Oh, I'm big, bad, and bold. I ain't scared of nobody. I can cuss somebody out and... Fearless is one of those words that can be relative to other folks, because fearless to some may be you can wear the kind of clothes that you want to wear, or you can put on your body whatever you want to put on your body. Fearless to some, and God help us, Lord, means that somebody can walk up in a nightclub, step up into a church, walk onto a school site, drive down the streets of Chicago and end somebody else's life. I submit to you that these acts are not fearless by the Spirit of God. Here we see David giving godly advice on how to live right and rule a kingdom, but David's advice was based on being fearless by the Spirit of God. He says, and keep the charge of the Lord your God. To do what? To walk in God's ways. To do what? To walk in God's statutes. To keep God's commandments. To keep God's judgments. To have a testimony about God. Sometimes you ought to be able to tell somebody about how good God has been to you. Sometimes you need to text somebody on your text message. The Lord has been better to me than I have been to myself. Sometimes you need to post on your Facebook, oh God, you are great. You are holy. Thank you, God, for a wonderful day. You ought to walk in his ways. Keep his statutes. Give testimony to a holy God. To be fearless in the Spirit, listen, it gives you strength to walk in the ways of God. David knew that all too well. Somebody has stood before a giant problem before. Yeah, David faced giants. Y'all know that. Somebody has faced a giant in their lives. Somebody already gave a testimony about what looked like it could have been a giant in their lives. But I came to tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord steps in, you can conquer the giants in your life, because the Spirit of the Lord will leave you fearless in God. Somebody has been bullied before, and that bullying looked like a giant problem. But God stepped in, the Spirit of the Lord showed up, and you were fearless to deal with that bullying. Somebody has had an issue trying to be the best father that they could, And it's not easy raising children, y'all, right now as a dad, I'm telling you. But if the Spirit of the Lord steps in, you can raise godly children. You can bring up a holy generation. You can watch your kids praise dance in the front of the altar and say, thank you, Lord, for my great children. Thank you, Lord, for giving me wonderful offspring. Because fearless in the Spirit keeps you faithful to God. David has some issues, but we can see how he reconciled to be a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he repented. Listen, you can't be too bad and bold and big to ask somebody to forgive you. Brothers, we struggle with pride. We got a me, myself, and I issue sometimes. Sometimes we think it's all about us. I'm the head. I'm the big cheese. It's my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. But I understand that's words to a secular song. The Bible says that it's God's thing. You ought to do what God is telling you to do. And God says when you have done some things that are wrong, you just stand up, square your shoulders, look somebody in the eye and say, forgive me because I did something that was not wrong. And the Spirit of the Lord will step in and he'll make a difference in your life. David repented. He asked God for forgiveness. Listen, he turned away and he stopped practicing sin. He was faithful. He was fearless by the Spirit of God. But then the text just gets gooder and gooder. Yes, it does. Read it for yourself. Because with God, you got to watch this one now, we are filled with joy. How many people got joy right now? How many people know that you have joy? How many people got the kind of joy that can't nobody touch regardless of what they say about you? How many people got that kind of joy that Paul and Silas had? It said in the midnight hour when they was locked up in jail, they didn't try to escape. They just started singing and the gates came open. How many people can sing your way happy in the Spirit of the Lord? 1 Kings, the second chapter, the last verse of our text, that fourth verse says this. Now watch this one. Take the Lord, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying. This is God speaking to David. If your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, God said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. I'm here to tell you this morning that God's joy cannot be stopped. God's joy cannot be withheld. Listen, there is not a retaining wall strong enough that's going to keep God's joy from flowing. God told David, if your sons, as a matter of fact, I read that as if your descendants take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, God said, something good is going to happen. This is a two-part promise from God. Hear me on this. Part one was conditional. Because the text says that God said, if your sons. This conditional statement required man to step up and do his part. Men, God wants you to step up and do your part. He's called you to do a wonderful work in him, but he won't give you anything that he has not given you the provisions by which you can carry it out. He needs us to step up and do our part. Many times we do not get all that God has for us because we do not step up and do our part. Solomon did a great job, but you know he struggled in spite of his father's advice. The descendants that followed Solomon, and here's a few, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joaz, Amaziah, Uzziah, Hezekiah, and Josiah. They were all good men, but they could not stay on the throne of Israel. And the kingdom of Israel struggled. But God's joy cannot be stopped. God said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. That's what God said. Part two of this promise is unconditional. And whenever you hear unconditional, you ought to start getting happy, because unconditional means it has nothing to do with you. Unconditional means that God is going to carry it out. Unconditional means that God is going to mention it and God will bring it to pass. When you hear unconditional in the Word of God, you ought to lift up holy hands and say, "Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your promise, Lord. Thank you that you are a promise keeper, oh God." This part was unconditional. See, God had a plan for King David. Yeah. Husbands up in this room tonight, to this morning. Fathers right now. Dads who are here. Granddads who are here. Uncles who are here. Big brothers who are here. Male role models who are here. God has a plan for your life. God has somewhere where he wants you to go. God has somebody that he wants you to lead. God has put somebody in your life already that he has placed you a steward over. God has a plan. And then he provided an unconditional promise that gives us joy on the inside. Yeah, he knows we struggle sometimes. He knows we have tribulations sometimes. He knows we look left when we should look straight ahead sometimes. Sometimes things come out of our mouths. Sometimes things are thought in our heads. Sometimes we act a certain way. But God knows who we are because he made us. And God has given us joy on the inside that we can overcome some of these things on the outside. And he's called us to be faithful. He's called us to be fearless. And he gives us a reason to be filled with joy. God meant it when he said that. He meant it when he said, "You shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." God's unconditional promise is why we are filled with joy. God promised a man that could do what the other man could not do. You see it right there in the text. He says, "You shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." Well, let me tell you about this man. This man is the offspring of David. Somebody ought to be getting stirred up right about now. This man is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Somebody's getting ready to know what I'm talking about. This man is a good role model for all people, everywhere, all the time. This man is a real deal, no nonsense superhero. This man restored David's fallen tent. He has claimed the throne of Israel and established a kingdom that will never end. This man sits on the throne of Israel right now, right here. This man has done more than that, because this man sits on the throne of my heart. This man is known as faithful. Some people call him fearless. Some people call him joy. But brothers, you know for yourself that late in the midnight hour, when nobody else would listen, late in the midnight hour when you were by yourself, late in the midnight hour when you had dialed all the numbers that you can dial, you just called him Jesus. You called him Savior. You called him Redeemer. You called him Healer. You called him Wonderful God. You called him Mighty Counselor. You called him Prince of Peace. You called him the Rose of Sharon. Somebody knows him as the Lily of the Valley. Somebody had money problems and you called him your accountant. Somebody had relationship problems and you called him your counselor. Somebody had problems with their child and you called him, "Father, help me with my children." Faithful, fearless, and filled with joy. We have a reason to shout this morning, because God is good. We have a reason to say, "Thank you, Lord, because you're holy." We have a reason to say, "Thank you, God, because you're wonderful." Men, you ought to get on your feet. I'm asking the fathers to stand up on your feet right now. Thank you, Lord, for godly men. Thank you, God, for helping us to be better fathers. Thank you for helping us being better men. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us when we couldn't keep ourselves. Somebody ought to shout, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord."
that he has made all of us faithful, fearless, and filled with joy. May God bless you all, and may God keep you.